cursed objects. That's right. Today on Star Queen Paranormal, we'll be discussing cursed rings. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. Only on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Sometimes things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
Every day that makes you say, hey!
This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal. Wondrous warm welcome, Stardusties. Tis I, the elevator operator to the 11th dimension. Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary, space pirate, and star queen. I am your host, Exy. And as I was mumbling about in the teaser, we've got an episode on cursed objects! And today's episode, cursed rings. So I went to the bookstore and perused the paranormal book section. I guess some books call it like controversial knowledge. I was in the controversial knowledge section! And I found a few goodies to help me write some episodes, y'all. And I have a book called Cursed Objects by J.W. Auker. So do not be surprised if I do a few more episodes on cursed objects. Cursed objects! Curse! Ooh, that one kind of hurt my throat. It ain't easy being the fabulous Star Queen. And like I always say, starting just now, if it ain't over the top, I'll tell it to stop. But before we get to the part of the episode that you want to listen to, I'm gonna shake things up a little bit. Shake-a-shake-a-shake-a-shake-a-shake-a. With some, cover your ears, terrible terror!
It's terrible! Oh!
That's right, kiddos, it's time for our favorite time, the terrible tarot time. Now, why is it terrible, you may ask? Well, the readings are short and sweet, and you wouldn't want to pay me for these readings. But if you'd like to pay me, for whatever reason, head on over to my Patreon at patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal, where I will express gratitude to the universe that you are paying me to do my show. Here you can hear me shuffling pretty terribly, because I don't feel like it's a legitimate reading if you don't hear me shuffling. Your cards for today are the Queen of Cups, the Eight of Cups, and the Queen of Pentacles. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. Right away, I'm noticing that you have two queens in this reading. There is some wisdom and insight, possibly into your emotions, possibly into a past event that you've lived through. But you've matured and you've grown now. You're starting to understand why things are the way they are. And whatever you've gained insight on, it's something where you've been considering if things would be better if you just walked away. Just start something new. Focus on yourself. The cards are assuring me that if you decide to change directions, change the plans up a little bit, you'll be walking straight into an abundant path. An abundant path with your queenly wisdom. Your nurturing personality, if that applies to you. But if not, someone who's just generally good with children, animals, and plants. And finances above all that. You'll be on a path where you feel older, wiser, and richer. And that reading was actually not so terrible today. Today's bizarre headline is from February 16th, 2023. 32-year-old Joby Poole was stopped on the highway in Telford, a town in central England. He was arrested after allegedly stealing a semi-truck that contained 200,000 Cadbury cream eggs. West Mercia police tweeted, along with the cream eggs, a number of other chocolate varieties were also stolen. Poole allegedly used a metal grinder to break through a gate and into the truck. Police estimate, in all, the seized chocolate is thought to be worth about 40,000 British pounds, or almost the equivalent of 48,000 American dollars. Luckily, the police were able to foil the chocolate thief. And since we're doing an episode on cursed rings, I'm making my quote. One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness bind them. And that, of course, was from J.R.R. Tolkien. Again, the following stories were referenced from a book called Cursed Objects by J.W. Auker. We've talked about cursed objects in the past. In previous episodes, we've talked about the Crying Boy paintings, and we've talked about Robert the Doll, and I think we've touched upon other curious, possibly cursed objects. The first ring we're going to talk about is the Ring of Sylvianus. In 1785, a farmer in Silchester, Hampshire, was working in a field when he happened upon a gold ring. The ring dates back to about 4th century AD. It was a large signet ring with a concave image of the goddess Venus on its bezel. The band had 10 subtle facets described like a worn-out lug nut. Around the band, the Latin words Senescione Vivus in De. The words were written backwards so that the inscription could be pressed into wax and read. The Latin was misspelled on the ring. The inscription had an extra I and should have had an O at the end of day. The inscription should have finished Vivas in Deo, a common inscription for Roman Christians, meaning live in God. So the ring's translation should be Senescionis, live well in God. The farmer sold the ring to a wealthy family, the Shute family, who kept it amongst their antiquities at the Vine Estate, and forgotten in time, mostly. That is until the next century, when another object was unearthed just 80 miles from the field from whence it was found. In Gloucestershire, there is a Roman temple dedicated to the god Nodens, the god of hunting, healing, and the sea. The ruins of the temple are located in a place called Lydney Camp, but it's also known as Dwarf's Hill. On Dwarf's Hill, a small lead tablet was found, a defixio, which is a curse. It's a curse tablet. This particular defixio, found on Dwarf Hill, said, "For the god Nodens, Sylvianus has lost a ring and has donated one half of its worth to Nodens. Among those named, Senescionis permit no good health until it is returned to the temple of Nodens." In 1888, Chaloner William Shute, the heir to the Vine Estate, which was that wealthy family that purchased the ring from the farmer, wrote about the possible connection to the curse tablet and the ring in the family history book. He had hypothesized that Senescionis stole the ring from Sylvanus, and Senescionis may have inscribed the Latin phrase as a sort of counter-curse. And I know, being a show about the strange and extraordinary, you're wondering where the curse comes in. Well, unfortunately, it's unclear whether the curse or the counter-curse worked out for either one, but this story is still strange and extraordinary. For you see, in 1929, Sir Mortimer Wheeler, an archaeologist, was researching the ring and the tablet while excavating Dwarf's Hill. Eventually, Sir Mortimer Wheeler needed help with the etymology of the name Nodens, and he contacted an expert, a professor of Anglo-Saxon from the University of Oxford, a Professor John Ronald Ruel Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, who later, in 1937, published The Hobbit, a very famous story about a cursed ring that included dwarves. It's unclear to historians whether J.R.R. Tolkien was inspired by the Ring of Sylvanas, or whether the ring found in the field is even the same ring mentioned on the curse tablet. But curious superfans can find the ring in the vine, where there's an entire room called the Ring Room. The ring has been on display since 2013, and beside it is displayed a copy of the cursed tablet, the Defixio, the original of which is kept at a museum in Lindycamp/Dwarf's Hill. And beside both the ring and the replica of the tablet, a copy of The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. The other ring we're going to discuss is the Ring of Rudolph Valentino, also called the Destiny Ring. Rudolph Valentino was an Italian actor based in the United States who starred in several well-known silent films. He was nicknamed the Latin Lover. Some of his best-known work was The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, The Sheik, Blood and Sand, The Eagle, and The Son of the Sheik. At some point in the 1920s, Rudolph picked up an ornate gold ring with a circular tiger's eye, also known as a cat's eye gem. According to legend, the shopkeeper who sold Rudolph the ring advised him against purchasing it because of all the unfortunate events that surrounded the previous owners when they owned the ring. But Valentino purchased the ring anyway. You can even see it on his pinky in the 1922 movie, The Young Raja. Though it's unclear if that's actually his ring or if it was supplied by the costume department and just looked like his ring. In August 1926, Valentino was in his room at the Ambassador Hotel in Manhattan, resting after the premiere of what would become his best-known movie, The Son of the Sheik. He was reportedly wearing the ring when he began experiencing excruciating stomach pains. He was rushed in for surgery to repair perforated stomach ulcers. Valentino died about a week later from complications of the surgery. After his death, his estate was cataloged, and on page 81, a honey cat's eye stone ring was listed. The ring was inherited by Pola Negri, a Polish actress who had been romantically involved with Valentino in the past. The ring is in a commissioned portrait of her and Rudolph. The ring seems to be the focal point on her finger. After Pola Negri received the ring, she fell seriously ill, and her acting career came to an abrupt halt. When she recovered, she passed the ring to a musician known in the music industry as Radio's Valentino, Russ Colombo. In 1934, a longtime friend of Russ Colombo was playing around with a firearm near a match when the gun went off and accidentally shot Colombo, killing him. Colombo was wearing the ring. The ring went to a friend of Russ Colombo. His name was Joe Cassino. At first, Joe put the ring under glass on display. but eventually he came to decide that the curse was superstitious hokum. So Joe eventually put on the ring. And the day he did, he was hit and killed by a truck while wearing the ring. After Joe Casino's death, the ring went to Joe's brother, Dell, who put the ring in a safe. And nothing happened to Dell. Except one night, there was a burglary at Dell's house. The burglar's name was James Willis. And what James Willis didn't know was that he triggered a burglar alarm. So as James Willis was trying to get away, the police confronted Willis. Rudolph Valentino's ring was in his pocket. And James Willis did not survive that police encounter. The ring went right back into Del Casino's safe, where it left the world alone. Years later, director Edward Small retrieved the ring when he became interested in making a movie about Rudolph Valentino. He gave the ring to a young figure skater and up-and-coming actor named James Dunn. James Dunn had worn the ring because he was supposed to play Rudolph Valentino in a biopic. After wearing the ring, James Dunn died of a blood disease before filming ever even began. Dunn was the last known person to have worn the ring. Nobody really knows where the ring is now. Rumors say that it's tucked away in a safety deposit box owned by Del Casino in Los Angeles. But several other rumors say that it has since been stolen from that safety deposit box. So if you should see an antique, ornate gold ring with a circular tiger's eye, just remember, buyer beware. What do you think, Stardusties? Do you think objects can bear an air of bad energy? Do you know of anything like that? Do you even believe in curses? Or are you of the idea that it's all in the head? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at Star Queen Paranormal. Check us out at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Give us some love money at patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal. And so, Stardusties, remember that I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. Always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Remember to hydrate and practice self-love, and may your path be paved in starlight.